I want to start a series this month entitled When Love Comes Calling. There you go. When Love Comes Calling. And if you look down on your notes, you'll see that the name of this message is Love Conquers Death. Love Conquers Death. So, when love comes calling, love conquers death. The power of death, the fear of death, the results of death. Indeed, Jesus, by the power of his love, conquers death completely in our behalf. One of the great truths that sets Christianity apart from all other ideologies or other religions is the resource that we are given when we face affliction and suffering. Others see the benefit, but they go it alone. The help we receive from God is this. Number one, we're not alone. Number two, Jesus enters into our affliction with us. Number three, he does something about it. He works good in and through it. In fact, that we're given a scripture in Romans 8:28 says, God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Has anybody ever gone through something before? Is anybody going through something now? I want you to breathe that in. Let the reality of that word, that God's going to be at work in it, and he's going to bring something through it for your benefit and for his glory. No matter what's going on right now, I believe that when love comes calling, because, number one, love motivated Father God to send Jesus, and number two, love motivated Jesus to come to earth and die for us. And when we come to faith in Christ, we're called to abide in his love. And love is the primary fruit that the Holy Spirit begins to develop in our hearts and lives as followers of Jesus. Now, concerning the power of death, we're going to pray in a minute, but I want to get to this part first. Concerning the power of death that hangs over the souls of everyone, Jesus took a head-on approach. And this is an aspect of the gospel I want us to look at before we dive into the text. This is Hebrews 2:14-15. It says this. Now, just focus on this, because this is kind of a little launch point. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, look at the person next to you and say, you have flesh and blood, you're the children, right? Right? He too, that's Jesus, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Now, Jesus surrenders to the will of the Father, which is to die. And then his death works something extraordinary. And in his raising from the dead, he swallows up death and breaks the power of death to rule. And Revelation 1:18 says, he has the keys of death and hell. He has the keys now. So when you're going through something and you feel overwhelmed and like you're going to die, hold on just a minute and listen for the keys jingling, because the door's not going to shut on you and close, because Jesus has the keys of death and hell. And he's going to do something, and I believe he's going to do something in your life today. So when we're talking about death, there's two, in the blue letter, there's a blue letter Bible thing you can look up online. This is what it says. Death is defined in the blue letter Bible as the death of the body, which is the separation of the soul and body, whether through natural means or violent means, by which the life on earth is ended. So that's our physical death, okay? Here's the second definition of death. It's the misery of the soul arising from sin, which begins on earth but lasts and increases after the death of the body. in hell. So there's an active death on the earth, right? There's an active death. Typically, we say that death is separation from God. You know, when somebody dies, you have a sense of loss because that person is no longer there. In Christ Jesus, we do not grieve as those who have no hope because we'll see them again. We have a relationship with them, but that fellowship with them is not there anymore until we pass on and go into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because death has been swallowed up in Jesus Christ. So Jesus faced death for us that we would receive life. Now we're going to go and look for a minute, and I want us to, if you have an electronic device or a Bible there, we're going to go into John chapter 11, and we're going to look into the story that Jesus visits Bethany and raises Lazarus from the dead. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and I'm going to read through that story. It's about 44 verses, I believe, so we're going to take a little time to do that. But right before we do, I want you to know that in chapter 10, right at the end of chapter 10, they're about to stone Jesus, and he escapes, and he goes on the other side of the Jordan River. And so there's little comments that are made by Thomas that says, we're going to go over there and die with him, you know? So that's what that's about. And it's about two miles south of Jerusalem where Bethany is, where they're going. And then as soon as the story's over, the Jews are plotting to kill Jesus again. So this is tucked away in the middle of somebody trying to kill somebody. They're trying to kill Jesus. And so we have the resurrection, his declaration. By the way, there are names of Jesus. Let's just stop and say, in the book of John, Jesus is called the Word. He's called God. He's called the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's called the Living Water. He's called the Prophet. And there's some statements. There's seven statements that that John makes. These helps when Jesus declares he's the I am. Remember in the Old Testament, Father God said, I am that I am to Moses. I am this great I am. And Jesus says, his first one is, I am the bread of life. He's the sustainer of everything about your life. The bread of life. He says, I'm the light of the world. How many of you, he's come into your thick darkness and rescued you? And Jesus illuminates the way. He is the light of the world. The Bible says that he's the door or the gate into the sheepfold. You cannot enter into heaven without going through Jesus. He's also the great shepherd, or the good shepherd of the sheep. He's called that. And then it says, he's the resurrection and the life. And that's the main theme we're going to touch on when we touch on this. And then it says, he's the way and the truth and the life. And we end up then, he's the true vine, that nourishing, fruit-giving. When you and I relate to him and stay connected in abiding in his love and in his word and in him, there's a fruitfulness that begins to grow out of our life. So we're going to get into this in a second. I want to go ahead and just pray. Father, I ask you now that you would take this written word that's beaming with life and you would put it into us and cause the hope and the power of your authority over death to be manifested in anybody who is wrestling through and struggling. In Jesus' name, I ask that this rise out of your word and breathe into our hearts. In the authority of Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and if you have it with me, I'm going to read through it. It says, now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? And anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the night is not in him. After saying these things, he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. And the disciples said, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant he was taking rest and sleep. And then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, well, let us also go that we may die with him. And now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, he will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Let's just say, yay, Jesus, right now. Hallelujah. So this is the major moment, the major theme, the definition, the I am statement of Jesus in the midst of this narrative. And then it says, he says, do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb and weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? And then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. That's the reading of the word here. The other day, I was really reading through and seeking the Lord, and the Lord says, this is the passage. And the Holy Spirit just moved in me, and so I started reading, and I read it, and I studied, and the Lord likes somebody to, you know, if you never pursue the Lord, you will never grow. I said, if you don't pursue the Lord, you will not grow. I said, is there anybody here in me? If you don't pursue the Lord, you won't grow spiritually. You have to show up in the places He's at. You got to pursue Him and look at. So I'm going, Lord, tomorrow is Sunday, and I've been laboring in this passage. And then He opens my eyes, and I see. So let's go ahead and take a look. And again, I want to ask that here come an openness in your heart for a work of the Holy Spirit. The first fill in the blank. This is what I like to prophetically apply from the essence of this passage into our lives. Did you know that Bethany means house of affliction or house of figs? So I want us to receive this. I guess that should have been, I don't know whether it says the Jesus. You can mark that out. Just Jesus enters it. Here's what I'm saying. Jesus enters into your house of affliction. This is what the Lord is saying to us. Bethany is house of affliction. Jesus says, I'm going to enter into your house of affliction. It's all house of figs too, but figs is fruitfulness. So prophetically, when I say Jesus is going to come into your house of affliction and He's going to turn it into a house of fruitfulness, okay? This is what He's doing. The Lord says, I'm coming to where you have been in affliction and I'm going to cause it to be fruitful. I'm going to cause it to be fruitful. Let's just, again, just lift up your head and say, thank you, Lord, for your ways are higher than my ways. We said a minute ago, He doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't leave you alone. He enters into it with you. He works something that you can't do in the midst of what you're struggling with. He comes and does something that you are incapable of doing, but He comes. And when Jesus comes, He has authority over death. Number two, Jesus is working in your affliction for the glory of God. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. What you're going through is going to bring God glory. When He gets in it, He's going to cause His glory to manifest in your life. I don't know about you, but I sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit brooding in the room. How about you? Let's praise Him. Let's go ahead and say, thank you, Lord. For there is no suffering that you go through life, even if you caused it, that He will not bring glory to Himself out of it. Oh man, praise you, Lord. He said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God can be glorified through it. Number three, love motivates Jesus to work in your life. Never forget that love is always God's motive in working in your life. He's not ashamed of you. He knows you're all. He factored in your stupidity when He saved you. He factored in your failures. He factored in your frailties. He factored in all of those limitations. He factored the fact that He never has to sleep and you have to go to bed at night. He factored all that in. Love, love, love. Listen to this. So the sisters went saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. love, love. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Jesus wept. Jesus, so the Jews said, see how he loved him? And then Jesus, being deeply moved again, came to the tomb. Love motivates Jesus Christ to work in your and my life. He's moved by our losses. Love feels deeply. Jesus empathizes. He enters into sorrow. He is not on the outside working up sympathy. He's on the inside, moved with the depth of our loss. He knows what you and I were intended to be, and he's so passionate about that coming to pass. God is both God. Now, Jesus is both God and human, and he weeps as both God and man. Jesus is touched with our losses. Hebrews 7:25 says, consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession. Jesus lives to pray for you. You're always on his mind. He's making intercession. Let me show you another verse and show you in Romans 8:26-27. This is an encouragement to us. But notice, you see, when the Holy Spirit works, it's Jesus working. The Holy Spirit represents Jesus. This says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know how. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This yearning, this groaning, this thing, this work of the Spirit that can happen in you when you're walking with the Lord and he causes your heart to be moved for somebody else and you start to weep with those who weep. This is the sharing of how God says, look how I feel about what's going on in my brother and sister over here. And he puts it on your heart. You begin to pray. You begin to groan and cry out for him. He shares that role. It causes you to have a life of being a part of the solution and not always being... How many of you were a part of the problem and you had to be the guy prayed for, right? We know that side of it. The Lord says, I want to move on you and be. You become like me, and I want to cause you to be motivated in a way that causes my powerful prayer life to come through you and to see people transform because of you. Do you have somebody that's not doing well in your life right now? Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's set aside you trying to solve it, you little fake excuse for God. Get your control out of the way. Submit your heart to the one who knows. And spend time before him. And you'll probably find out, ooh, I've been a bit of part of the problem. It depends. It depends. Are you there? Love motivates Jesus. This is the gospel. He entered into their grief and their loss through death because he experienced his own grief and loss through death. Jesus can enter into the depth of your loss because he went through the feeling of abandoned, being abandoned. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's already gone through all this. This is the power of the gospel. Jesus can relate to the deepest, scary place inside of your soul. Because he went to the deepest, scariest place on the planet in your behalf. Isaiah 53:4 says it this way, surely he has borne our griefs. Is that up there? I don't know if that one's up there. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Come on, somebody. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we have esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Number four, God works on his timetable. There's a southern gospel song called 4 Days Late. It's a beautiful song. It's about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And it comes and says, "You're late. All hope is gone." And the last little line in the chorus says, "He was 4 days late, but he was right on time." Let me interrupt your chronological timetable. And let me work in your life to create a miracle, because it's not on your terms. It's on his terms. The Holy Spirit wants this to rest inside of your heart, because some of us are begging God to do something. Had you been here, it wouldn't be like this. Had you been here, it wouldn't be like this. And the Lord's saying, "I am the resurrection and the life in your life. What you think you've lost, it's tied up in your relationship with me and my authority over death in your life." When he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now when Mary came to where Jesus was, saw him and fell at his feet, said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." How many of you in a situation right now, you feel like, "Man, won't you show up?" Number five, death stinks. You know it, I know it. Death stinks. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead for 4 days." I want us to put up another scripture. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this. Let me say, I start as, when you have created your mess, God is the way out. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10:7 says, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret." That's the good line. Can I just go ahead and say, God give you? This godly part, it means it represents the way God would do it. That's what that word is. And the grief, the sense of loss, and the crying, it's commiserating over the fact that you have actually done wrong. That you have messed up. You were blaming everybody else. You were walking in the death that your sin had produced. And then it's discovered and it comes to light. Whereas worldly grief produces death. This is not true repentance. This is not a godly sorrow. This is, doggone it, I was caught. And I don't want to change. Now I have to pay the consequences because I got caught. And worldly grief is just a disappointment that you messed up, but you wish you wouldn't have got caught. So there's no change of the life. And that's the kind of death that stinks. When you have no desire to please the Lord, and you want to continue on in the sin. That's the misery arising from sin that brings forth increased, you know, when a person lives in that death, they go to the second death. By the way, Jesus has the keys of death and hell, and one day there will come a time when he'll take death and hell and he'll throw them into the lake of fire, and that's called the second death. That's a permanent removal from the presence of God forever. Number six. I didn't know if you knew this or not, but Lazarus's actual name means God is my help. It's a derivative from the Hebrew word Eliezer, whom God has helped. And the Lord said to me in preparing this, he said, I want you to know that your people, I come to Bethany in there. I come to your Bethany. I come to your house of affliction. And I come as the God who helps. And Jesus goes to the tomb. And he cries out Lazarus' name. And he cries out the meaning of the name. God is your helper. Come out. I'll speak to your heart right now. Just go ahead and say to your own heart, God is your helper. Come out from death's grip. God is your helper. Jesus has come to your place, your house of affliction. You're not alone. The struggles that you have, the Lord wants you to know you're not alone. He's really proud of you, but you're learning to open up. It's been tough. You haven't been safe doing that anywhere, right? Is the Lord speaking to me, buddy? This message is for you too. Because the Lord is saying that he's here to help you come out of what caused death in your life. And you can lay hold today and step out of things truly that have brought you down. He's going to dismiss the spirit of death. He's going to leave. Let's praise the Lord, guys. That word may be for him, but it's for everybody in here. It's for everybody in here. When he said these things, he said, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, and his hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face was wrapped in cloth. How many of you need some help today? Holy Spirit, fall fresh in this place right now. Come, Spirit of life. Come, Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. When they put somebody physically dead in a grave, they wrap them up. But let me just go ahead and tell you that the devil wants to wrap you up before you're dead. He wants to bind you up. He wants to hinder you. He wants to wrap you up and bind you up and limit your movement and cause you to be unable to do the things you know that God has called you to do and to be. And Jesus is saying, today is your day. Because Jesus has come to your Bethany. And Jesus has come saying, I'm your helper. And you're going to come out of death. You're going to come out of death. You're going to come out of the grip of death today. Somebody praise the Lord with me. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the life is here. The Lord is here. The Lord says, open up to him. Open up to him. Because there's a weightiness that the Lord's saying, I'm coming in with my glory. I'm releasing things. I'm blessing. I'm breaking forth. And I'm saying, I'm here to help you come out. I'm here to help you. There's something inside of you. You say, I've got to step out. I've got to step out. I've got to step out. You can't just sit there. I just loved it. You know, somebody said a long time ago, it says, if Jesus hadn't said Lazarus, everybody would have come out. the authority. He was troubled that death had caused the pain, yet he knew it was for the glory. And God is saying, I'm going to get glory out of you coming out of death. I'm going to get glory of you coming out of affliction. I'm going to create abundance in your life. I'm doing it on my timetable. You step up. God says, I'm going to break the power of death off of you. Hallelujah. He's already working it. He's already doing it. Let's go ahead and just lift our heads and say, thank you, Lord. Just go ahead and praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just worship the Lord for a moment. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go to number 7, and then we're going to receive our communion together. Number 7, other followers of Jesus help unbind you. Other followers of Jesus help unbind you. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. You could say in this sense, Jesus does the heavy lifting. He commands life to come into death-filled situations and calls you up out of a place where you didn't think you could ever walk out of that. I'm telling you, there are people in this room that the adversary has done a number on you, whether years ago or recently, and like a real whacked you good in such a way that you have been hindered in moving forward. And that's a spirit of death. It's gotten in your way. And Jesus says, I'm here, because he kept saying, he says, I want to go to places people don't even know I'm going to come to. And I'm going to liberate you, because the devil drew a line and you accepted it. You accepted this is as far as I can go. And when you're not moving forward, you're dying. Is somebody receiving this? When you're not moving forward, you're dying. When you're not growing, you're in the process of dying, and the spirit of death has come in. Go in Jesus' name. Come off of this body in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be freed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, spirit of death, go! Hallelujah. Galatians declares this, brothers, sisters, anyone who is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and prepare our communion. We're not finished. We're not finished. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Let's all partake together. Receive the bread. Hold it until all are served. And we'll partake together. And I want to minister what the Lord is saying in my spirit. I want to go ahead and tell you that the chains have fallen off. They're off. They're off. The Lord's unwrapping. I just want you to, in the name of Jesus, begin to unwrap. Just do that. Undo it. Spirit of God, take off the grave clothes, take off what's hindered, my sweet brother. You're freed indeed. It's just worship Him. Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Worship the Lord. Listen, what we're going to do, we're going to have communion. Go ahead and pass it out. And then after communion, we're going to have people down here unwrapping, taking the binds off where death has been manifested. How you doing? You feel the shift? You're the grandma. You want to unwrap this guy? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, what's hindered you in the past is coming off. It's leaving. You're not going to be bound anymore by what's tied you up. It's coming off. Receive it. Come on. Liberty's yours. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Lord has felt the deep losses of your heart. He has felt the deep losses. Jesus has moved deeply with what you've been through in your life. He cares so much. He loves you so much. He's shifting things around. You're coming out. This bread today, this cracker, symbolizes two things. I'm going to declare it symbolizes two things today. It symbolizes that Jesus died in your place, that His body experienced the death that was to be yours. You see, we're totally depraved. We started off good, but we sinned and we fell into death. And we're walking dead people. But Jesus has given us unmerited grace. You can't earn it. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's completely a free gift of eternal life and life that starts right here. But it's all because it's substitutionary. He took your place. The gospel is all about you not doing anything except receiving what He has done. But then, after you received Him and you put faith in Him, your life, the proof of the changed life, the proof is the changed life. The proof is that you begin to act differently and live differently. They asked Finney years ago, well, how many people got saved? He said, we'll know in a year from now. We'll come back next year and see how many really got saved. Here's the second thing. It represents the resurrected body of Jesus. God's been working in you, hasn't He? I don't want to say your name out loud because it goes on the tape, but you know, I'm looking right at you. So see, yes. You know what? I don't want to get too personal here, but your self-judgments haven't been based on the Lord's judgments. And the Lord's liberating you today. I think everybody here in the room has stood as their own judge. Is it right? But the Lord wants you, and we're doing this, the Lord wants you to know the forgiveness is 100%. I don't think it's really that people are all that bad that just get on themselves. You know, the devil is such an accuser of the saints. He's such an accuser, and then you swallow it. And you get disappointed with yourself. That's coming off. That's leaving you. That's leaving you now. I'm calling it out. That thing is trying to put you to death. You're getting free from it right now. He's doing it. Judgment is broken. Jesus says, you know, the fear, perfect love casts out fear. Fear is just because of the fear of punishment or torment. God's giving you love today. Love has come to your Bethany. Love has come and raised you out. Let's just worship the Lord. We're not in a big hurry here today, are we? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stir yourself up. Praise your Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. Later on, when we come down front, I want you to come down, okay? Okay? Listen up, man. I'm just looking around the room, guys, asking the Holy Spirit to help people. Right? Jesus is the bread of life. There is a heavenly work today into the realm of this earth in your body and my body. And as we take this into our body, the Lord is releasing an unusual liberty into your life. Things are going to definitely change. Just tell the Lord this. I want you more than life itself. I need you, Jesus. I receive you, Jesus. And on the basis of my heart's cry, I receive heaven's resource into my soul, into my spirit, into my body. In Jesus' name, let's partake of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go ahead and take the cup. Hallelujah. By the way, the Holy Spirit is working way beyond my personal touch. There's going to be quite a percent of us. In fact, when we come down front after this, we'll just take time unwrapping. Does that work? The Lord is softening hearts. He's softening hearts today. Now Jesus went to the cross and he poured out his blood. And then when he went to heaven, he presented the blood. He's the blood of the Lamb. He was a Lamb, but he went into heaven as the high priest. And he presented the blood before the altar of Father God. And there is a living witness for every person who comes to Jesus Christ in faith. Complete, utter forgiveness. And you can go ahead and argue with it and say, well, I know God's forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. And I'd like to take you back to the cross when they laid Jesus on the ground and ask you, just how come that's not enough for you? In God's mind, it's enough for the whole world. How come you are special? And that somehow Jesus' blood being spilt is not enough for you to forgive yourself? Who in the world are you? I'll tell you who you are. You're deceived by the adversary. And you believe the accusations. Because the blood comes back and says, no, they are forgiven. We're going to partake. And here's the deal. Jesus said, forgive as I've forgiven you. That's the deal. Don't be small-minded, little crusty-souled person that I'm forgiven, but I hate you and I'm bitter. Don't be one of those. I don't even know how far they get down the road. But they end up with a flock of all kinds of judgmentalness, and that's not what we are, and that's not what you are, and that's what Jesus is. Jesus is a liberator. Lift the cup, lift the cup. Say, Lord, I choose to receive complete forgiveness. And I choose to be a complete forgiver by the power of the blood. Let's partake. Today I'd like to ask, if you had any sense of a witness in your heart. Joan, come here and I'll demonstrate. This is what's going to happen. You come down here. I'll say, Joan, decide that God's your helper and you're coming forth out of the work of death in your life?
Yes, I do.
In Jesus' name, I take the grave clothes off of you. And I unwrap you from what's bound you in your life. And I take it off. And the spirit of death will no longer hinder you in the things of God and in your life. Oh, praise the Lord. That feels good, doesn't it? Woo! Let's come on, everybody. Hallelujah. Just receive. Hallelujah. We're just going to come on. I'm talking to everybody. She'll unwrap you. We're going to just unwrap by the...
Well, Don't let the enemy embarrass you or say, I'm going to be embarrassed. You're not. There's not one of us in here who hasn't experienced some kind of death assault from the enemy. In Jesus' name, and this is by faith you're doing this. In Jesus' name.